You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Today on the Zabecast, a very special Mobile Strike Studio edition from the driveway of Mr. X. We pack the over-under guru himself in with his sons, X2, X3, and X4, and talk about what it was like growing up X. All that plus deets on the NBA return, and the 5-hour Energy Dome might just have a new sponsor. Your daily Kickstarter of Uncensored Me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Wednesday, June 17, 2020. Thank you for joining me. We will forego the ritualistic Grover, are we near or far bit, because honestly, we know they're far. It doesn't matter. There is no near Grover. It is only far. More on that in just a bit with Mr. X and his sons. Before we get going, though, Shams Charania, excellent reporter for The Athletic, sort of the junior Jedi to one Adrian Wojnarowski, has the deets on the NBA's return in Orlando on the bubble. Let's start with this. NBA players have been notified that any player who chooses not to play in the resumed season must notify his team by June 24th. Also, any player who exercises this right will not be disciplined. Good deal for them. Furthermore, they say that there'll be two categories of players who will not have their salary reduced if they don't play: protected players and excused players. Those who are deemed to be at a higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19, according to the team or experts. Now, pay docking. A player that chooses not to play will have his compensation reduced by 192.6th for each game missed. So in other words, about a 1% pay cut. Oh my God, wow. 10 grand per million made. Would you take a 1% pay cut to stay home? I'm now thinking the NBA might have trouble fielding teams, complete teams. If there's no discipline, you only get a 1% pay cut. I mean, half these cats on the teams that are included beyond the top 16, the other six teams, the scrubs, they fucking know they're no chance on winning a title. They're not going to show up to Orlando. Oh, You want to show up and go through all these restrictions, which wait till you hear some of them? Or do you want to take a 1% pay cut, stay home and chill, and maybe flex on the whole social justice thing by saying, I'm not playing. Doesn't feel right. Man, what a deal for NBA players. The NBA has also said any players who leave the Orlando bubble without prior approval will be subject to a 10 to 14 day self-quarantine, 10 days minimum in your room, a reduction in compensation for games missed, big deal, and enhanced testing, deep nasal swab. You'd think if players left the campus, they could come back and go, all right, I'm back, give me a test. Boom, negative, great, I'm out, or I'm in, let's go. But no, they're going to punish the shit out of you if you leave the bubble. Then there's the schedule. Then there's the NBA informing all 30 teams that they would use as a central goal of a season restart to utilize the NBA's platform to bring attention and sustained action to issues of social justice, including combating systemic racism, expanding educational and economic opportunities across the Black community, enacting meaningful police and criminal justice reform, and promoting greater civic engagement. Whew! We are in discussions with the Players Association to develop a comprehensive strategy on how the NBA's teams and players can best address these important social issues. So they've said, look, we're going to make it a woke festival when the balls start bouncing. This, of course, I think, in response to not Patrick Beverley, but a Laker player who said, I'm not Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley's like, yeah, I don't know about this, man. Either you're with us or you're against us. We want to see the corporate, he didn't say corporate, but we want to see something along the line. Basically, like, hey, how about money from either teams or sponsors, or who knows else? Which, hey, as they say, shoot your shot, right? If you're a company that advertises with the NBA, you make a major seven-figure or larger investment in the league, and now it's like, yeah, hey, man, what money are you going to donate to these causes in addition to show that you're not against us? Hey, we're sponsoring your league. What makes you think we're against you? Yeah, well, how about money? Company A is like, we already give to various causes. Didn't know this was a, how much do you need? 50 grand? Oh, it rhymes with Ilion. Oh, yeah. So the league is going to have to head that off at the pass, which is players basically freelancing and saying, hey man, I ain't playing Sun City. You got to be old enough to know that reference. I ain't playing Sun City if there's not some corporate and or league dollars going to this, that, and the other. Like I said, hey, shoot your shot, right? Hotels. This is the one we want to know. NBA teams at Disney hotels based on seating. The lowest level, Yacht Club. I have no idea if that's any good. Blazers, Kings, Pelicans, Spurs, Suns, Wizards. Grand Floridian. Thunder, Sixers, Rockets, Pacers, Mavericks, Nets, Grizzlies, Magic. And the Grandestino, I guess that's the best. Bucks, Lakers, Raptors, Clippers, Celtics, Nuggets, Jazz, and the Heat. Then there's this. Amenities, players-only lounge, NBA 2K games, TVs, gaming, pools, trails, barbers, manicurists, pedicurists, 24-hour VIP concierge, daily entertainment, movie screenings, DJ sets, video games, ping pong, pool, lawn games. Players can also attend other games, which would be kind of cool to see them sitting in the stands. God damn, that sounds like fun. Does it sound like fun to you? If you're an average American not making $20 million a year, $10 million a year, $5 million a year, then there is this. Inside the NBA bubble in Orlando, players will have the option to wear a proximity alarm that will notify a player if he spends more than 5 seconds within 6 feet of another person on campus who is also wearing an alarm. Boop, 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 boop. You were 5 seconds within 6 feet of me. No, I wasn't. I was 4 seconds, and I was 7 feet away from you. This fucking alarm doesn't work. You don't have to wear it, it's an option. So you could be roaming around with other. They're going to be testing these guys and quarantining them and alarms. Holy fucking overkill, Batman. Are you kidding me? But hey, I guess whatever makes the players feel comfortable and safe. Interesting times. We'll see how it plays out. All right, had a rare chance to pile in Mr. X, X2, X3, and X4, the sons of X. X1 is out of college off on his own, but the other three boys joined me in the Mobile Strike studio to talk growing up X, the baseball dispute, and a whole lot more. Here's how it went.
Do it again.
Has anyone ever liked the sound of their own voice?
Whoa. Listen to that. We are live in the Mobile Strike studio with the entire generation of the X Clan. Mr. X with X2, Tyler, graduate of James Madison. Tyler with his Red Sox jersey. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
All right. X3, Ryan, who's going to CNU, where my daughter's going to be going. You're a junior there, and a legend, according to your dad so far.
Now, that's his older brother.
That would be the older brother.
Which one? Closer to the mic there.
That would be X1's a legend there. I'm a legend by association there.
By association, okay. Yeah. And then Andrew is X4, and you are just graduating. No, you're going to Virginia Tech. Yeah, you just graduated.
Yeah,
you're going to Virginia Tech.
I just graduated high school and going to Virginia Tech next year, yeah.
So the first question I have for the ex-disciples, is it funny how much this tiny bit of fame has gone to your dad's head?
Should I leave right
Come
now?
Come on, let's start with that. How much does your dad be like, oh, I'm on the podcast this week, boys, step aside?
That's a good first question. Only a little bit.
Okay.
Like, he'll only, like, sometimes be like, really, like, hey, everyone needs to be quiet. I'm going upstairs to record. And then I'll go through the whole house. And I'm like, I'm in my room. I was going to be quiet anyway. But he'll make sure everyone in the house knows when he's about to go on. But other than that, not too much.
Yeah, I'm going to be on the podcast. And like, guys, did I remind you guys I'm on a podcast? Like,
okay.
I do this every week.
Does he brag about his tout service? Which is really not a tout service, but it is kind of, you know? Did you know the Mr. X special baseball over-unders, which, by the way, killed you this year? We'll talk about baseball in a second.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go 4-0 if there's no season.
Can't lose.
can't lose, but, I mean, come on.
We'll
this
see.
This was an 82% sure thing. Will you release shortened season totals if they play a shortened season?
Plan to.
You
Plan
do?
To. Sure, okay. Why not? Shorter right. window to win.
All right, very good.
Doesn't take as long to get it home.
Which one of the ex-disciples has not woken up this early? And it's only 11:45. It's only noon, actually. Andrew?
You're definitely X4.
Okay, yeah. You're X4. You were the one that apparently your dad said as soon as the teachers this year in high school said that the grades are optional.
Oh, yeah, I didn't.
The work
didn't
is optional. Right. You said...
School's optional.
You said, hell no, I'm not doing it, and don't wake me up until noon.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe two.
Yeah, two. I'll take at least two.
Oh, he's on the 5 a.m. to 4 p.m. shift.
Well, how's it going to be at Virginia Tech, Tyler? Or Andrew, how's it going to be there?
I might go back to, like, you know, being normal, but or normal for our standards. But,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. So, Mr. X, where do you want to begin today?
Well, by the way, let me just – it's easy to – people say, why do you let them sleep so late? Why are you this and that? These two can't get up. What am I going to do? Ground them? The governor grounded them. I mean, I can't – what are you going to do?
It's right.
Oh, I'm going to take away the money? They got nothing to spend it on.
Right.
I'm helpless.
Yeah, you basically are.
Yeah.
So let's talk baseball. Monday was a spectacular shit show for the game of baseball, wasn't it? Back and forth. I think the season's dead, but what do I know? What do you think, Mr. X?
There would be nothing that would surprise me if they do the usual last-minute quick deal because both sides have a lot to gain. However... And I don't want these guys arguing with me on this one, but the bottom line is...
No, I do want them arguing. If Dad's full of shit, just say so. It's a podcast.
The bottom line is, I ran numbers on this the other day, because most people are either on the players or on their owner's side before anything happens. They just always come down on the same side. They don't even care what the issue is. I look at each one individually, and I kind of made my own little ledger of expenses, and I came up with each team, if they go with, they drop their fans from 30,000 to 5,000, they lose almost $2.4 million a game.
Per game?
Yeah.
Times 81.
Times 81. Home games.
Quick, which one of the ex-disciples can do that math? Go.
More than four times 81.
More than four.
It's a shitload of money is what it is.
So when they take and say, oh, let's open the game because America wants it, we just won't have fans. What guy in his right mind says, oh, I want to own that business and I want to drop $2.5 million per game off my revenue? That is
a new model.
And but the players want to keep themselves whole.
Right.
And that's ludicrous.
But here's the thing. Is there not something to be said for, hey, baseball owners, you didn't buy a hedge fund with fungo bats. You bought an American institution. Suck it up for one fucking year. Am I right about that, X2?
Yeah, I'll stay out of this mostly because we vastly disagree on this. But, yeah.
No, get in there.
I mean, it kind of comes down to, like, as the employee, it's not your duty to, like, fix your employer's
bad business environment.
Yeah, as I say, like, when you sign a contract as a player, if, like, you can't renegotiate it if you start playing poorly, you can't renegotiate the deal now that you're not making as much money.
Right.
The same token. That's
how about some manufacturing company that has supply chain problems because of some other thing that happened in the faraway world, and they're losing 30% this year? Are they going to go to a worker saying, you got to take a pay cut because we had supply chain problems? Yeah. This is a supply chain problem, Mr.
No,
Max.
The difference is the day that you say, just go ahead and play this new game without fans and lose $100 million this year is the day I say, okay, you know what? We can't put safe protocols in place. I'm afraid we're going to have to cancel.
Well,
so if you won't work with me, that's where I'm going.
That's the dance that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It also comes
down
to...
Which is why the season is dead.
And you know what? With the
dying.
Bill Gates...
I don't mean the sport. I mean this season. You think this season's still alive on life support?
I think it's still alive. It's looked better. It's not dead, but it's dying. It needs CPR. It comes down to that the owners are super incentivized to just play playoff games. They would run out right now and play an 85 playoff game series to save money. And the players would play, you know, like a Premier League style, just all regular season games if they could. So
right.
There's just... Maybe I'm just naive and young, but I just feel like there's so much to lose by
you
not.
You are, but that's okay.
Like, there's so much to lose by not that
when
they
you're
have
young
to
is supposed
find.
To be naive. Yeah. That's same, the wonderful years. Exactly.
Same thing.
Yeah, age will grizzle you. See that guy to your left?
Yeah, okay.
That's what you're looking at in 20 years. What do you got, Ryan? Not 20, 30, 50? Ryan, what do you got on this situation, my man?
Well, so for me personally, I think that the business aspect, I think it's probably not going to be as much of a loss as my father here believes it's going to be. Because I've been thinking about, granted I don't know the entire logistics of it, but when you think about how much more they're going to make in TV money when there's nothing else to watch nowadays except for Major League Baseball.
I don't know if they're going to make more in TV money.
I don't know exactly how it works, but I was thinking
it's young
like,
and naive.
It's not young and naive. It's young and I don't know how TV money
did
works.
Did you run your own ledger like Mr. X did? Where he counted every hot dog and every parking pass.
Well, no, unlike my dad,
I ran a ledger. It's 2.5 million. Can I see that ledger? Do you have it anywhere?
I can, but you wouldn't follow the math. You know it.
It would confuse me and scare me, but yeah, I understand that.
You know, the other thing, everybody thinks when you're rich, is Bill Gates is rich. Is he supposed to give away computers at a loss? He's not going to, and nor are these owners. Just because you're rich doesn't mean you want to lose money. That just is.
But it's a one-year loss.
It's a loss.
It is.
Can I imagine if I told you, hey, next year on the radio, we're going to just have you work at a loss. But it's only for a year.
Yeah, but I'm an employee. I'm not an owner.
Well, okay.
Business
you
owners,
own the podcast.
Right, but you own a physical company that appreciates and grows over time and everything else. Look, it's a fair argument. I don't know. There's arguments on both sides. But the real issue is the players have been bristling at the owners for a while now. It all started with the Machado and Harper winter of crickets, where they were available in their prime, and everyone's like, no, we're good. Right?
Yeah. Well, they've been doing this forever.
No, they haven't. They used to spend on guys like that. They used to splurge on guys like that.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's always a matter of everybody has a price. It's a hard call. For those of us that sit back and say, spend this, spend that, spend this, you know. Who knows?
Do you know how easy it is, though, for some players to not even play this year?
Sure.
Do you know that
don't want to.
A number of players have been advanced $240,000 as per the agreement, and they were only going to make $1 million or less, so they'd be playing for free?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not hard for them to sit out or play one game and go, oh, oh, my arm, it's broken.
Yeah, Rodney.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. Do you still want a season?
Sure.
You'll take it.
It's TV.
You'll take it.
Well, the definitely. Longer we don't play, the longer we get to keep saying the Nats are defending champions. So that's the only other aspect to this. Like, if they don't play for a full year, we've been champs for 2 years, three. You know, if they don't play for till 2021, we're still champs. So
just like Virginia.
I mean, I want to see a season because I need something to watch on TV nowadays.
It's brutal, isn't it?
It is. I can't keep watching the same shows on Netflix over and over. Like, I'm running out of things to watch.
Yeah, you've pretty much watched everything. All three of you boys play sports, right?
Oh, yeah.
What is the sport of choice? What is the best sport amongst the boys?
Wow, they're all different. I mean, the oldest, remember, I must say.
X2, Tyler, what was your sport? Is your sport?
It's probably still basketball.
Hoops? A little bit of baseball?
Baseball, too, a little bit.
Okay.
Basketball, baseball.
Ryan, what about you?
Oh, definitely baseball. I'm horrible at basketball.
Okay, what about you, Andrew?
Mostly hoops and a little bit of baseball, too.
Hoops and a little bit of baseball, okay.
Yeah. And X1, when you said they're all here, X1, who's off on his own now, barely. He was an ultimate Frisbee dude.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Speaking to all the ex-disciples, do you think your dad and your mom were pitching for a girl and just kept hitting boy, 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 boy?
They usually say they got one.
Oh!
The rumor was that they thought, my mom thought during like the pre-screening, however that stuff works, that they thought Andrew was going to be a girl at first, which we have turned that story into like
legend.
Yeah, story is like they thought he might be a girl, but which we've turned into like, oh, they bought like pink clothes and they did all of this and all the tests came back. So by the time we're done with that story, yeah, we've run.
All right, seriously, Andrew.
I can still take all y'all.
Seriously, is it tough, good. Andrew, growing up as the fourth of four boys?
I mean,
come on.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
Yeah, pretty obvious.
You're shaking your head no, Tyler, as why? Because you think he gets the preferential treatment?
Well, my dad was the youngest of his family, and so was my mom.
Really?
There's a huge bias in our family towards the youngest. The youngest of three. My mom's the youngest of three. You see how the trend goes here?
Fake news.
Fake news. I mean, has there been preferential treatment over the years?
I think Ryan and I would say that the oldest and youngest get it the easiest.
Would agree.
Oh, yeah. Everybody thinks the other guy's winning. We know the drill here. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Grass looks greener on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
There you go.
I want to talk about the dark art of point spreads, because I understand from your old man that you guys have been learning at the feet of the master and maybe even think you are a sharper tout than your old man. Talk to me. Shots fired from the back. Not saying much.
It's funny growing up, but my dad and I were talking about this last night. Like, I didn't know this whole, like, X world existed till like, 2, 3, maybe 4 years ago.
Oh, really?
Didn't know this. I never, this part of, my father, I didn't know existed at all. But I remember growing up as a kid, like, now I can look back in the rearview mirror and see, like, I definitely remember moments like watching a one-night football game and being like, why does my dad care that the Jets just cut the lead from 17 to 14? And being like, Dad, like, why did you cheer for the Jets last week and this week you're cheering for them to lose? I'm never understanding that. And now on the other side, I'm like, okay.
You get it now.
Gotcha.
You noticed your old man rooting for games harder than anyone really should.
Or cheering for, like, you know, like,
my
why does he
team
care?
Changed a little bit.
Like, why does he care that this team's now up 14 rather than 17? And be like, okay.
It was amazing how many times we would rush home from our own, like, basketball games to see some random Browns-Bengals game that we didn't think mattered at all.
Dad, why didn't you call timeout in the fourth quarter? I was in a hurry.
I genuinely believe...
Yeah, because he coached a lot of your teams, right?
I genuinely believe in my basketball games that he called maybe four timeouts during the Redskins season the entire time.
I got to keep the clock moving.
Let's go.
They're on at one. We have to go.
Unbelievable. So, do you ever find your dad curled up crying in the living room after a bad beat? Like, what's the matter, Dad?
No.
Took it like a man, huh? He shielded any bad losses from the kids.
There were no bad losses.
Was there ever any my dad would like to call spiritual Christmases without very many presents because the old man had a bad year?
You know, I don't. Can't speak well on this, but I would love to see some research go through on this. We could go through some bet history and then go through Christmases. I'd love to see, like,
gifts you got.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's definitely a point of inquiry now.
The six chairs downstairs right after the Giants won the World Series. Yep.
All right. You brought some stuff with you. I'm going to let you go ahead.
Oh, they were
get us into some stuff here. I've kind of exhausted what I want to talk about, but I know you guys have a lot. And I know you guys are big basketball fans, so I'm sure you got some thoughts about the NBA restart and whatnot.
Well, they were actually thinking of they wanted to get into their best and worst moments of playing sports as kids.
We can do that.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Who wants to go?
All right, let's start with the youngest in the back. Andrew, go ahead. Best and worst moment. Oh, he's freezing. Look at it. He's choking under pressure. Do you need to to pass it?
You want to go last? You claim you have one record that no other kid has in Little League majors.
Oh, yes. I am, in fact, the only kid in the history of Little League to bat last on their dad's team.
Wow.
You have to be really some sort of bat to bat last on your dad's team.
And he might be right, because when he first said that to me, I realized that, first of all, most majors, coaches, kids are good ball players.
Yeah.
And if they're not, they think they are.
Yeah.
So I was one of the few that when his first year up, he was playing with his older brothers.
Yeah, but
he batted last.
But here, Andrew, isn't now
he was a late bloomer.
Isn't the nine spot the pre-leadoff spot? And didn't La Russa invent batting the pitcher eighth?
Well, yeah,
right?
But I was 12th.
I mean, we batted all 12.
The only reason he did it is because he wanted to cover the spread.
Okay.
That's a tough one. Well, you do own that record, which is nice. Okay, Tyler, what about you? I'm sorry, Tyler.
Ryan, you go first.
Ryan wants to go first.
Yeah.
Okay.
I distinctly remember on my 12th birthday, my dad decided to let me pitch one day in a Little League game and decided that the Nats were on at 3 and the game was going too long, so he pulled me in the second inning with a low pitch count because he wanted to get home and watch a Nats game.
Wow. And you were confused, like, why are you pitching me? Well, pulling me from the game.
I mean,
hot. I got a lot of pitches left.
I mean, the bases were loaded, but we were up like 6. So, like,
right.
A little bit of both there.
Okay. All right. There's that.
Yeah.
All right, Tyler?
I mean, I have mostly, like, almost completely all fond memories, like, of my dad coaching my teams growing up, but no one wants to hear about those. Those
no,
are boring and lame.
No, let's get to the good stuff.
Yeah, so going on the other 5% of it, or less even, I just have, like, a fond memory
or
of...
less.
I have memory of pitching one game in a Little League and early in the season.
Not the one-hit shutout.
And I threw a complete game one-hit shutout, and I don't think I got shelved the rest of the year, yeah.
That was his last start.
That was my last start of the
year.
Why? Well, actually, and I don't know if you remember this, but what was bad is, you know, the no-hitter mystique, or what do you call it, superstitions. And after 5 innings, we're up 2-0, and he's got a no-hitter going. So in the 6th inning, you know, without saying anything to anyone, I talked to the 3 outfielders in the last inning, because you don't want to lose it on some cheap flair. So I brought them all in 8 steps. Don't tell them why. I just bring them in 8 steps. Because we're not letting a flare end a no-hitter.
Right.
They haven't hit the ball hard all day.
If a rocket goes over someone's head so bad.
It hasn't been one yet, so let's play. Sure enough, one out in the last inning. Kid hits a routine fly ball to left field, which goes over the guy's head because I brought him in so far.
Oh, no.
I didn't hear the end of that one for a long
time. Why
did
you shelve him, though, for the rest of the year?
Well, first of all, it was late in the year. I don't know.
He recalls differently.
What he recalls is that right after that, we went into a tournament where we had a really, really long run in the Little League tourney, our longest run that we ever had. And he was probably our third best pitcher on that team, but I never got him an inning in the whole tournament. So that's the one he doesn't let me forget.
Which I'm no like math expert, but I think at least 6 or 7 kids pitched, and I was third. I don't know the numbers on that.
Do you think that dad went out of the way to show he was not a typical father coach that favored his own kids?
Yeah, absolutely.
No,
100%, huh?
No, in a good way.
Yeah. Okay. I would definitely say it. I can never say that, like, I played shortstop or Tyler over here pitched because our dad was the coach. It was, our dad coached us well that we could, like, earn a spot to, like, play and have it. But he was always really good about getting everyone a turn during the regular season. So that you wouldn't have complaining parents, but also so that everyone got better.
Right.
And then once it came playoff
tournament time,
throw the best kids, play everyone at the best position. But I remember I, as like a 13-year-old in majors, was playing right field every once in a while because little Johnny needed to play shortstop once, and we watched 6 balls go between his leg, but he's going to get his inning short.
You can play majors in Little League at 13?
I had the perfect birthday, May 1st, so I was league age 12. I was literally the oldest kid in majors.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you dominate?
Nah.
We won the championship that
we did.
We dominated.
Come on, Danny Almonte. You got to take advantage of that extra year, you know, the early starts of puberty.
But see, the reason he didn't pitch in that tournament was because, don't listen to this, but he was actually one of the best 12-year-old catchers. He could set up hitters and
catcher's a key position.
He not only was a good catcher, but he actually helped the pitchers all become way better. So I didn't have the ability to pull him from that position to pitch. I'll never forget that first year of that tournament game. Big kid on the predominantly team that wins every year. First inning, men on, two outs, and we throw two outside pitches, get him in the hole, and then I call for a pitch up and in on his hands because I don't want this big kid to hit one in the woods, which he does all the time. Tyler
Woods is bad, home run.
Tyler throws a pitch down and has him throw a pitch down and away, called strike three, inning over. First inning of the tournament. He comes to the bench. I call him over the side, and I said, don't shake me off again.
I remember a little more angry than that, but okay.
Don't shake me off again, at which point he says, Dad, a pitch was 6 inches outside. That ump has given us a zone that's crazy. He couldn't hit that with a paddle. So, okay, he walks away. The assistant coach walks down to me, pulls me over the side, and goes, what do you think we'll just let him call the rest of the game? So I did. Rest of the tournament, I didn't do anything. I let him do it. So.
Good.
That's why he didn't pitch.
I like that. I'm going to edit this out. Turn up the air conditioning. Just in the left-hand dial. There you go. Crank it all the way up. There we go. We get a little bit more air flowing through here.
Hey, I got one for you, though. This is good. Since these two, the oldest two always often played together.
Oh.
Youngest two played together a little bit. But these two were 3 grades apart. So they never played together until high school, late high school. He was about to graduate.
Okay.
He's a freshman.
Okay.
They finally played together on a spring basketball team. Ryan?
All right. So I remember Tyler here caught the ball on the block, and my man, who was guarding him on the three-point line, cuts down to go guard Tyler and double-team him. And
triple
I'm just
team.
Calling for the ball, screaming like, I'm open, I'm
ball,
open.
Ball, ball, ball.
Tyler looks at me. Shakes his head, turns, fades away, and knocks down the jumper. After the game, I'm like, Tyler, I was open, why did you pass? And he goes, Ryan, they could put a third player on me, and I'm still more open than you are.
Wow.
Yeah, we had
brother to brother.
Wrong, but it hurt a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say. Now, you got a driveway hoop here, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you guys would play in the driveway. Did you ever have any big driveway?
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Driveway games here. It's not a big driveway.
Can you see the garage? There's nothing but dents in that door because they body check.
We play like hockey rules. So if you go near the garage, you're free deck.
So pretty much all checking.
Oh, yeah.
Down low.
That's pretty rough.
Okay.
There's no fouls.
Did you take on any neighborhood kids?
Yeah, we grew up in a good neighborhood.
There's a lot of boys in this neighborhood.
That's good.
Yeah.
So that's good, you know? I'm glad to hear that because I'm afraid it's becoming more and more of a lost generational thing. Yep. I know you guys are big into video games, I'm sure.
Oh, no.
And never. And, you know, your phone and social media and all the digital stuff. But good old-fashioned outdoor recreation in suburbia, nothing like it.
You know what the video games ruined for me is?
What?
I mean, I don't play them. But the stories of who used to be great are gone because I'll say so-and-so, and they're like, no, not because of the old-timer games. So they'll go, oh, he's no good. He's only an 86 shooter.
Right.
And I'm like, what's that mean? So all of a sudden
everyone
they think they know
Madden
the
ratings
old guys better
or their
than
NBA
I do.
NBA 2K ratings, and they're like, yeah.
Yeah, so suddenly I don't know anything because they're all rated, you know, So they go by the Madden ratings.
Dennis Johnson, his jumper is only rated a 56. He stunk.
Exactly.
It's like, no, he
and
was.
Who's that? Who's that dude that you guys say is the best video game player? The big guy from Portland.
Sabonis.
Oh yeah. How?
Arvidas Sabonis is the best center in 2K. I'll stand by it.
Best video game player.
He's the best created avatar. He himself doesn't play.
Oh, no. Yeah, just because he's 7'3 and can shoot three-pointers.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Better than Dirk?
Oh, I mean.
Better than KD?
Oh, KD's the best. KD's probably the best.
Okay, but given the matchup that he plays center and knocks down threes all day, and I'm like, he can't shoot, and they're like, Dad, he's 98 or whatever it is. I don't know. So
speaking of shooting, I mean, how about the fact that Robin Lopez has become a three-point shooter, basically, out of nothing.
I've been on this theory for a while. I think we're going to one day live in an NBA where, like, every player is going to be, like, 6'7 or taller. Maybe not, like, super soon. Every player is going to be shooting three-pointers from 30, 40 feet. Like, as people get progressively better and bigger, like, we're going to live in an NBA where, like, every point guard is 6'7 and every center can shoot from 40 feet one day.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to get to a point where if you're going to be someone like 6'5 or shorter, you have to be Steph Curry to be that much better of a shooter than some big man that can also stretch the floor to be like viable in like 15 or so years.
What I think is amazing is that today's shooters, they stroke it from 30. It's not a heave.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And not only would players in the 80s, Mr. X, not throw it up from 30, that was considered insane, but it was more of a heave. It was more of a push. But now guys rise up and just fire and stroke from super deep. It's a development of shooting. Like, the art of shooting has evolved, and the players today are way better than the old-timers. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah, no, but close his ears. He's going to be sick tonight that you just said that.
I'm an old head who doesn't believe the old-timers are better than the new guys.
The first like week or so of quarantine, I caught my dad like YouTubing up old games, and CBS was playing like the old games, and he rewatched like the 74 NC State game.
Crushed
halfway
me.
Through,
stuff a legend 104, 102, or something like that.
Where the legendary leaper David Thompson was catching some passes almost at the rim and laying them in. I'm like, really?
Yeah. Halfway through the game, he was like, you know, they weren't as athletic as I remember them being. And I was like, no, you're
John
no
Lucas is dribbling.
You said that?
Yeah, it was horrible. David Thompson could barely get to the rim, and he was
the highest flyer ever. They'd say, take a quarter off the top of the backboard, leave two dimes and a nickel,
and lay it in because you couldn't dunk. Yeah. But John Lucas, the number one pick in the draft, the ball didn't touch his right hand the whole game.
It's crazy.
He's dribbling around with him like they look terrible.
How about the fact that boys, once upon a time, you couldn't dunk, and there were ties in college football?
Man, what a lame world.
Dumbass shit they used to do in sports. And no what?
No three-point arc.
No three-point line and no shot clock.
I always love looking back at the old games, and you see the three-point line that like intersects the free throw line.
That was the first year ACC. In 85, I believe.
And it's like a 14-foot pull-up. Is that
I think it was 17 feet because the top of the key is 19.
Yep. That was the ACC.
Or 19-9.
Yeah. And how about what's worse is when I was in school watching us beat NC State 38-37 because they'd hold the ball all day.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was boring.
So when it comes to sports nowadays, what is your go-to sport, each of you guys? Starting with you, Tyler, what's the sport you want to watch the most? Watching, not playing, watching.
I mean, it's still got to be the NFL. NFL's still king. But
NFL's king. Andrew, what about you?
I'll take the NBA.
You're an NBA guy.
Huge NBA guy.
You're wearing a Sixers jersey right now. Whose Sixers jersey is that?
Iverson. None other than Allen Iverson.
The great AI.
Which is my Iverson jersey.
Really?
Yeah.
He's borrowing it from you. You were in a Nats jersey, Ryan, so tell me what's your favorite sport.
In person, there's nothing better than being at a baseball ballpark. I stand by that. On TV, it loses a bit of the touch, and I would go with the NFL, like Tyler over here.
Okay.
But in person, nothing beats baseball.
Okay.
Now, the other thing you asked me about was what was it like and how do they compete versus each other?
Yeah.
I was thinking just a minute ago about what they do. The way they've invented their own rules for winners and losers. Example, 2 years ago, they show up in Maine at midnight. I was already up there.
Oh.
First thing they do is go out to the boathouse to play poker till dawn. But there's no money.
Yeah.
They want to play for money, chips. But I won't let them because it's all mine anyway. So what the hell good is that?
You're just moving it from one column to the other.
So there's no real incentive. As you know, you got to have a reason to play the game. So what they do is, like, for example, that first night, whoever comes in last place, the winner at any point during the vacation can say now would be the right time, and that person has to run immediately fully clothed and jump into the lake.
Oh, God. Freezing.
So, for example, I think Tyler won that. Ryan lost.
Oh, badly.
So middle of the...
Now would be the right time.
So middle of the family dinner a week later, about 18 people, it's dark, and everyone's eating lobster, and Tyler looks across the table and goes, Ryan, now would be a good time. He just puts down his stuff, runs down the dock, jumps in the lake, and of course Mrs. X looks at me and goes, what's wrong with him?
And That's hilarious. Did you come up dragging like a wet dog also?
Oh, yeah.
I need a change of clothes.
And she says, shivering. I was in a hoodie. It was a bad time to be jumping into the lake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been in the water in Maine. I've got in-laws up there. Yep. It's fucking freezing. Yeah. But in the middle of August, it's freezing.
Yeah, she looks at me and says, "What? Are you okay with that?" I'm like, yeah, deal's a deal. Mm-hmm. You know.
Love that. So the other thing, the sanctity of a deal.
The other thing they do
taught them well, Mr. X.
is they play for what's called whatevers. So if the winner, every person you lose to, you owe them a whatever.
Okay.
And so the guy who wins gets a whatever from everybody else and on down the line. So what happens is any time during vacation, like if I say, hey, I need you to go load the truck. We got to go to the dump. Okay, can just go, and turn to the next guy and say, you got this one for me. You pass on any deal or any job to the next guy.
Okay.
And the next guy can't fuss. He says, okay, so I got to go do it.
It's a whatever.
So when you win poker, you get whatevers and pass them on to the other kids. So they compete pretty hard for those.
That was fantastic. Yeah. How was quarantine for you guys? You're all pent up together and old man's not allowed to leave the house.
If I have to watch one more sports documentary and then halfway through have my dad pause it and go, well, let me tell you something about this. I'm going to lose my mind.
All right.
He wanted to inject sidebar stories.
I was watching the Sammy Sosa Maguire 30 for 30 they had last night, and my dad just pops in and goes, now that was an amazing race. And I'm just like, I'm just trying to watch the documentary. And it's like, but let me tell you about that time when everyone was doing steroids and no one was doing.
What'd you guys think of it? Because you're all too young you weren't even born in 98.
I just thought it was.
Barely.
You were
the only one who was like caught the end of the steroid era, maybe a little bit. Like I first started watching baseball like 2003, 2004, so I caught like Manny Ramirez and A-Rod steroids, but that's a bit. Yeah.
X, what'd you think of the doc?
I haven't seen it.
Neither have I.
That was a phenomenal summer. I know it all changed later, but that summer was pretty cool. As I said, that summer kind of brought baseball back.
You know, for those that say, well, steroids don't help you hit a fastball. They don't help you identify a curve. I'm like, well, then why hasn't anyone come close to 60 since?
Yeah. Well, there's a reason Brady Anderson was hitting 50.
Exactly. You look at his year by years, it's like beep, 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 boink, 50. Yeah. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah.
I remember I saw this somewhere. I think it was in some stand-up comedy special, but I 100% believe this, that every MLB team should be allowed one player to do as much steroids as they want, just so that you have one guy just walking up, holding a bat in one hand and crushing the ball a mile. Yeah. I think it would be, baseball ratings would go through the roof.
We had that. It was called Ken Caminiti. Look him up. Remember that, Mr. X?
Yes.
I think he died, by the way, of an overdose. Bad
these guys deal. Also had another good rule. I can't remember which one of you had it for the NBA this year. Maybe you guys stole this. Whose idea was that for the fans?
That was the fan idea?
Oh, yeah.
I had the idea that each team should just, if they play with no fans, they should instead play with each team gets one elected super fan.
Meaning that suits up?
No, it's like fan. Their fan.
Oh!
Like a singular fan. Drake, or get one fan only.
It doesn't have to be a celebrity. It could just be like, I don't know, the guy who wears the craziest outfit.
Yeah, that would be funny. Yeah. What do you think, Andrew?
I mean, I like the idea. Just send Drake and Jack Nicholson in like a playoff series and have them watch him just like trash talk the whole time.
Who is the Wizards super fan? Do we even have
one? That's why we're no good.
That's why we're no
good. That's why we're no good.
Amongst other reasons.
Yeah. No, I think it starts with the super fan and it works its way down.
That's good.
Wally.
Wally. Yeah, Wally is probably our highest profile
That's
super
a problem.
Fan. That's sad, isn't it?
RG,
yeah.
Like 10 years ago.
RG3.
Rex
Grossman, where is he? All right. What's next on the docket, Mr. X?
I was just going to tell you that when you back to how they competed. They also can be pretty rough on each other. I'll never forget, Andrew was 15, and we were all playing golf up in Maine. He didn't have a particularly good outing. He's got that baseball right field swing, which is not good on a
That's
golf
generous.
Course. Can't keep it in play.
Okay.
We're on the 7th tee box, and Tyler says to him, you know, Andrew, you're 15. anything you're this bad at in life, you should never do again.
Oh, Jesus.
And then he says, Andrew kind of pouts, and Tawa says, seriously, if you were this bad in school, Mom and Dad would have pulled you out in fifth grade and sent you to McDonald's as the youngest employee ever.
That is harsh.
Oh, yeah.
That is harsh.
All the time.
Words cannot describe how bad he is at golf. So I was like, there's just no reason for you to keep, like, you're not a kid anymore. Like, you're at the age where it's just time to do something else.
Andrew, you have been tested by fire in your adolescence. You're going to do just fine in life because you had these three assholes above you riding herd on you. You got to be better at something than the other guys. The youngest has, you have to have something, an ace up your sleeve. What is it?
Oh, he can take him in basketball.
Okay.
Who?
He can take you.
I beat him yesterday barefoot.
Okay.
You
know, Bobo just, Baggins.
To be fair to them, when it comes to golf, I don't think they're harsh enough.
Okay.
I look worse than Barkley.
Oh, Jesus.
Maybe not that bad, but okay. Yeah, I'm about on par with Charles Barkley.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not good, but you got a lifetime. It's a sport of a lifetime. It's an old man sport.
During the pandemic, you know, with all this stuff going on, one day I can't remember why, but I'm big on the hit the bus rule. So one day I was sitting there with just Andrew, and I said, you know, you hope that they remember the important lessons you teach them. So I said, Andrew, you know, Dad gets hit by the bus. You're going to remember the one lesson I taught you that was the most important thing, right? And he looks at me and goes, first step back on a line drive? no, that's not where I was going. But it's a good rule, but that's not where I was going.
The hit the bus rule.
I mean, like, you know.
That's a good one.
Hope they remember something.
If I get hit by a bus.
The right answer was supposed to be always do the right thing. Do the right thing.
Yeah.
Simple. But all he remembered is first step back on the line drive.
I would say my hit the bus, if I was Mr. X's son, would be remember the password to his offshore account. Because there's probably some funds there that I could access.
That or take the points, don't lay the points.
Take the points. What do you think of your dad's theories about gambling?
It's still so crazy because I found out about this secret life as I said earlier, like when I was like 19 or 20. Yeah. And I only found out about it because I started like doing it on my own. And then he caught me, and then he gave me, like, I guess, like the birds and the bees, but for gambling. He's like, sat me down. He's like, if you're going to do this, you're going to do this right. And I was like, I thought I was in trouble.
He comes home
I wasn't in trouble.
He's discovered this new field. Like, I'm like, really? How's it work?
The first bet I ever placed was the Capitals to win the Stanley Cup and France, to win the World Cup. And I was like, this is super easy. And then it was all
And that was the year they both won.
Yeah. And it's,
now, when did you put the Caps bet? The start of the playoffs?
I have a screenshot on my phone because it's like my holiest moment of life. It was like February something.
And what did you bet? How much?
Not enough to matter.
No, but just give me the number. I'd like to know.
$20 maybe?
That's fine.
Yeah.
Everyone starts somewhere.
You're bigger than Zay, bro, already.
You're a whale. Holy shit, $20 on a game. That's unbelievable. The most I've ever bet is $1,000.
Ask him about that. Stauskas.
Yeah, Stauskas. Stauskas fucked me at the NCAA tournament so bad. Michigan was boat racing Tennessee. Yeah. And then they just start playing like, you know, like they were robots whose software had gone bad. And they're bad shot. Here comes Tennessee, inching their way back. Finally, Stauskas, Canadian. He's got a chance to sink two free throws to push the spread to 3. It's 2.5.
Yeah, but he only hits 92%.
92%er. Swish, clang, loser. There's your grand.
Boom.
But I got it back the next year. When Gonzaga beat UCLA
and Steve Alford quit.
Steve Alford pulled his starters with like a minute in the game, which is never done. Only down 8. Yeah. I think I was laying 5.5, and he's like, all right, boys, that's a wrap. And I'm like,
yeah, that I mean, was also, if it makes you feel better, Stauskas has done nothing in the NBA. So he kind of got it back for you.
Right. Fuck him. His career sucks, so that's my ultimate revenge. Of course, he still made millions not doing anything in the NBA.
Yeah, my dad likes to teach me like good gambling lessons after the fact.
fake news.
The best one I can think of is I remember, because as I was like learning more and more through this, like for big games, you see the list of props. And I remember for the Clemson-Alabama title game like 2 years ago, the one where Clemson just routed them. It was like plus 200 for neither team to score 3 times in a row. And I was like, what joke is this? These are even teams. The spread's 3. Never no one's going to score 3 times in a row. And then Clemson scored 5 in a row in the second quarter, and he was like, don't ever take that bet. It's a sucker bet. And I was like, I didn't know. It looked so pretty.
You know, gambling is now legal almost everywhere, and the district is rolling it out, although
Virginia's close.
Virginia's coming on board. We thought Virginia would never come on board because of the Bible Belt south of the state, and now they're like, shit, we want that money. We're in. Maryland, same thing. Do you know, though, D.C. is charging 118
118.
What whores?
They have
seriously.
Well, let me get this straight. So you think the D.C. government is messing something up? Just like everything they touch.
I mean,
they have no clue. I talked to the guy about that. I said, what are they doing?
For those that don't know, by the way, the VIG is the percentage rake the house takes. So 110, it's an extra 10% you have to pay as a premium on your losses or take it out of the wins, whatever the case. They get their chunk one way or the other. And the standard is 110, minus 110. Yeah. D.C. has said, we're going to make it minus 118.
Never heard of that. It's run by the lottery.
It's run by the lottery, and, of course, they're greedy about it. The problem is they're going to have to compete with other offshore accounts and neighboring states that will offer minus 110. Well, so I don't know how it's going to work.
What's going to happen is you're talking about they decided they wanted no risk and a bigger percent of the pie. So they're going to take a big percent of a tiny pie instead of having the sense to take a smaller percent of a huge pie.
And the tiny pie is a bunch of
novices,
pissant
that have no other options, don't know what to do,
right.
Want to say, oh, look what I did, and bet $20 here and there and on their app with no other resource.
They may not be wrong.
And they'll win a percent of it, but it's the classic, they're going to take 18% of a tiny pie instead of 10% of 50 pies.
I feel like you're just calling out Tyler right now.
I probably am.
Don't worry. We've been with Murray in Vegas betting literally $5 and $10.
And sweating it.
Yeah, and sweating it.
Yeah.
But as long as you've got enough juice to sweat a game, now you're in the fun zone.
Remember what I told him? That was the day I met him, and we were on opposite sides of the Louisville-Kentucky game, and he was dying on every call and this and that because he was on the opposite side from me. And finally I looked over and I said, Tim, what do you got? And he had a $20 ticket, and I said, I'll give you $40 if you go watch it over there.
Right, you're bothering me, kid. I'll pay it as a winner.
If you need the $20 here.
I'll pay it as a winner. Just leave. Get out of my sight.
I remember we had a similar moment to that on the Super Bowl this year because I was on the Chiefs. And you were on the Niners, and I was all excited, and he kind of later was like,
"Go
the
away.
Family is losing. Just because you're winning and I'm losing, we're not 1-1. Because I was getting really excited, especially because
he was invoking family finances.
Yeah.
Hey, stop rooting so hard. The family is going to end up on the wrong side of it.
Yeah. 1-1 is not even.
The other thing
I got to go to work, so I don't want to take you too long. It is 12:45 right now. Do you have 5 more minutes?
I got one for you. Yeah, okay. You're good, right?
5 more minutes. Go ahead.
I always remember when X1 was a senior in high school, they were in the same, because they were a senior and junior. So it was the first time ever they took the same class. It was AP Econ. And they were both in the same class. And the first test, they came home, and I said, how did the test go? And X2 says, got a 61. And
that's bad.
X1 goes, I got 65, and he's celebrating.
That's relative.
Because he beat him.
That's relative.
And I had to explain, beating each other is not the goal here.
Right.
D's are not good.
I beat him.
He was excited that he beat him 65-61. But, I mean, they both rebounded and got A's. But the first test, he would rather beat his brother than get an A.
What did you graduate from at JMU with, Tyler?
A degree.
In what?
Economics. And
okay.
Then a minor in political science.
Okay, good. What do you want to do?
Well, currently right now, I don't know. I don't really know exactly. Yeah,
he's working.
I'm working.
You don't know.
Right now, yeah.
Okay. All right.
He was lucky, man.
I got really lucky with my timing
on it. I don't know if I told you this. He got the offer in February. They wanted him to start in mid-March, and he asked to start 1 week later because he wanted to watch March Madness.
That's hilarious. And then it did happen.
Well, now then it got canceled.
Well, now this is public, and now they're going to hear me.
Whoops. No. Well, let's not talk about where.
Ryan, what about you? What are you studying down there at CNU?
Currently, I'm a marketing major down there.
Okay.
Tyler over here has been telling me to switch to finance because he thinks marketing's literally just finance, but smaller, I guess.
Nah, it's just
bullshit.
Pointless. Yeah, anything you can do with any job, or if you get a finance degree, any marketing job you could still get. Like, you can't get a marketing degree and get the finance
Here's marketing. Why don't we get a direct database? Why don't we email people? Why don't we use social media? Why don't we buy advertising? Okay, your marketing is done. Good job, everybody. All right, well, and about you, Andrew?
Well,
he's also
got two minors.
Oh, in?
Leadership studies and potentially theater as well.
Ooh, theater.
Yeah. I'm my mom's saving grace. I'm the one kid that did theater in high school.
Okay, dude, seriously, you got to meet my daughter, Megan.
She's already invited her to the first fraternity party.
That is not true. I want to just make that public right now. That is not true.
She is into theater, and my wife and I have encouraged her to continue doing that in some capacity at CNU. Yep. So you would be a great contact point.
I think you would think that, wouldn't you? I mean, the Ferguson Center at CNU is honestly amazing. We pull amazing musicians to come perform because of how amazing the acoustics are. So it's great for theater.
All right, cool. And Andrew, what are you going to be doing at Virginia Tech?
Social distancing.
Yeah.
That. Sure. I'm going to be a business major. I mean, that's about as far as I got.
Cool.
With it.
Was Virginia Tech your first choice?
Yes.
And who else was close? Anybody?
JMU and CNU, but then I realized that I have to actually go to school with that guy, which is a big minus.
Right.
And then I'll go to his alma mater. So, yeah.
I hear Virginia Tech is awesome. Yeah. For those that go there, have you been?
No. Okay. Once.
All right.
Freshman year.
You sound unimpressed.
Never again. Virginia.
Look at this. Virginia, JMU, CNU. Virginia Tech, and JMU for X1, who's not in the van.
No, he was a CNU dude.
CNU. Thank you. Two CNUs. I mean, you guys have hit except for William & Mary. Who'd you not hit?
Yeah.
Richmond, VMI.
No, and Mrs. X was a
George Mason,
Virginia
would be another one as well. Okay.
We've covered them.
All right. So just
a lot of good state schools, luckily.
All right. In conclusion, boys, what is the number one thing about sports that you love the most? Can be anything. Can be playing, can be watching, the athletes, the coaches, the drama, the gambling, the stadiums, the atmosphere, the experience. What do you think?
Let's do the toughest question on last.
Don't say cheerleaders.
Cheerleaders are fine as well.
I can go first if you guys.
All right, go ahead. Jump in, Ryan, while your boy Tyler is thinking.
The fact that sports are something that everyone seems to like, that, like, no matter what's going on, the NBA Finals comes on and the world stops for a bit to focus on a major sporting event. It amazes me how sports players and events can pull people together, like how much, like, Kobe Bryant has pulled the world together, that, like, the loss of Kobe Bryant just crippled the nation and, like, the world, I would say.
The way that sports is a common language.
Yes, that's
That we all speak it. We speak sports. Even if you're not a super fan of sports, it's something that brings you together.
Apparently you speak it a little better than I do, but
that's what I do for a living.
That is one rule we have in our house that I've put down, is no NBA talk during dinner. I can't take it.
Is it too much?
Oh, God, it never stops. So it's
Andrew,
no
what about you? What do you love most about sports?
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
There you go, Marshawn Lynch. Means you like the characters of sports, because Marshawn was a character. Okay, finally, Tyler, it's you.
Yeah, well, I don't have a super cliche one like Ryan, but I would just say it's the experience, like when you do it with, your friends. Like my dad told you this earlier. I think that most fun I've ever had at a sporting event was going to the DC Defenders game home opener.
No way, you went to that?
I went to their home opener, and I
beer
had a
snake,
blast.
Beer snake,
and they had $5 beers with a bunch of my best friends from school, and I had one of the most fun days. It's what you do with
shared experience.
Shared experience,
right.
Yeah.
That's good.
I went to the George Mason UConn Elite Eight game when I was a kid with a good family friend of ours, and that was experience I'll never forget, watching George Mason win that game.
Mr. X, as a fellow old head, I would say for me, the thing about sports is you can't fucking make it up.
Yeah.
It is the ultimate reality show that is unscripted, and you and I are old enough to have seen enough stuff, crazy shit, amazing shit. I mean, the Nats run last year to the World Series. You can't make that up, and that's the allure of sports.
But if he'd asked me, I would just say, it's a living.
It's a living. All right, that'll be a wrap. Boys, thanks. Good job.
Thank
well
you for
done.
Having us.
All right, now what are you going to do the rest of the day?
Go back to sleep.
Two back to bed, and one back to work.
That was a fun time in the van, and I say this with all sincerity. Many people think I'm incapable of sincerity. Not true. Goddamn, Mr. X did a great job of raising those boys. He really did. I mean, you can't do much better than that. smart kids, well-adjusted kids, play sports, go into college, are going to do great in life. And didn't kill each other along the way, which it sounds like they tried to at various junctures. So even though Mr. X may come off as like, who's this guy? Like, if you've met Mr. X in Vegas, you're sort of like, okay, quasi-professional gambler, and here's how he looks, and he likes a beer or two. No, he did a great job raising those boys, and those boys have done a good job of their own. Finally, there's this. I get a letter from one Whit Lining Systems of Claremore, Oklahoma. We can line anything. Mr. Steed Zaban, spelled Z-A-B-A-N, Zabecast, that's Z-A-B-E-E, Z-A-B-E, cast, no C there. Dear Steed, I am following up on our conversation last August with regards to the naming rights of your basement. For consideration, please find enclosed one corporate logo t-shirt, size small. Henceforth, your basement and all associated areas shall be referred to as the Whit Lining Systems Entertainment Complex at Solly Station. All signage and signage maintenance shall be provided at no cost to the corporation. I have enclosed three corporate logo pens in exchange for a corporate logo wrap of the Mobile Strike van / studio. Henceforth, said van shall be referred to as the Whit Lining Systems Mobile Strike Studio. Wrapping of said van shall be provided at no cost to the corporation. Directors of the corporation shall reserve the right to take the van for a joyride at their discretion at no cost to the corporation. On behalf of Whit Lining Systems, we thank you for this opportunity to partner with the 97th ranked voice in the Talkers.com 2019 Sports Talk Heavy 100. Together, the sky is the limit. Best regards, Whit Lining Systems, Andrew S. Hotchkiss, president. He also sent me a bottle of bourbon, some Dickel rye, which will help seal the deal. I can't promise all of that, sir, at no cost to you, but I'll see what we can do. I know Andrew. Andrew and his lovely wife, Michelle, came on the trip to South Africa. Michelle is a huge camera fanatic, as I am, had a better camera than me, had the brand new Sony AR3, and I'm like, oh god, I'm so jealous. The big old 200 mil lens got some great shots of wildlife. Anyway, they were fantastic guests and good people, and I want to get out to Oklahoma to meet him. And yeah, his company, Whit Lining Systems, they do big vinyl linings of tanks and I guess a bunch of different things, because, well, he says we can line anything. All right, then. Whitliners.com. WITTLINERS. Very funny. Thank you, Andrew. You are the best. That'll be a wrap for today. Thanks for downloading. Keep your head up amongst all the madness. You and I will live our lives fully, without fear, and press ahead, despite the fact that, well, there's nuttiness all around. Don't forget, we've changed to Red Circle. Please subscribe over there. Cancel Libsyn. We're off of that platform by the end of the month. You'll get 12 months for the price of 11 if you sign up for the yearly. Best of all, you'll get your Zabecast delivered to any platform you like, with a couple of exceptions. If you still want to go month to month, no problem there. They have that option as well. Quality content worth paying a fair price for, and we appreciate it. I appreciate it here, to be sure. Rate and review so our algorithms smile upon us. And go have a great Wednesday, and we will see you tomorrow. Can't stand the heat another mile. Let's try.